It's hard to imagine a time in the U.S. when Mexican food and Italian fare were exotic, Epicurean mysteries from faraway lands. But only a couple of generations ago, even uttering the words taco and pizza would have resulted in blank stares. Glenn Bell had a lot to do with bringing Mexican food to the masses when, in 1946, he opened the very first Taco Bell in Southern California. Now, there are over 5,800 locations across the U.S. Wichita, Kansas was the birthplace of Pizza Hut when brothers Dan and Frank Carney began selling pies out of a small downtown building. They came up with the name because the sign on the place only had enough space for 9 characters, including the spaces. Of course, those entrepreneurs didn't invent the pizza and the taco. They were, however, among the first to capitalize on the new flavors that were emerging as a result of the country's growing diversity. The metaphor of the melting pot is never more evident than when it describes the vast array of culinary choices available to us today, choices that go way beyond fast food tacos and takeout pizzas. I was running some errands recently and found myself in an Indiana strip mall parking lot when I looked up and noticed that in a turn of 360 degrees, my eyes and nose took on restaurants offering foods from 5 countries, Mexico, Ethiopia, Greece, Japan, and Peru. And that's just on one corner of one city in Indiana. Now, I've not traveled internationally extensively, just to England and Scotland and to our neighboring countries to the north and south of the U.S., but I daydream about visiting the 4 corners of the earth to experience their cultures and to sample their foods. Now, neither my bank account nor my home front obligations will allow for very many of those faraway trips right now. So the next best thing is to take full advantage of the diversity that surrounds me where I am. A few years ago, I took a co-op international cooking class offered by some graduate students at Purdue. The class was taught by a group of women, each from 6 different countries. And each week, we would gather at one of the women's homes to cook an international meal, enjoy a couple of bottles of wine, and learn from each other's life experiences. I still use some of the recipes from that class. Turkish, Swedish, Cuban, Brazilian, Korean. Sometimes I'll recreate a dish I learned like Sultan's Delight. It's a spicy lamb stew served over creamed eggplant. Delightful whether you're a sultan or not. Even when I don't reproduce one of these recipes, I sometimes find myself incorporating what I learned into a much more familiar dish. One of my new favorite dishes uses a Korean-inspired marinade to enliven a very Western favorite, pot roast. On the Korean night of my international cooking class, we made bulgogi. Now, traditional Korean bulgogi is prepared by marinating very thin slices of beef, usually sirloin, and then grilling it over a hot fire. This is the way we prepared it in class. The marinade is what gives this beef its very distinctive flavor, and it's that flavor that I recently started incorporating into a standard pot roast. The flavors of bulgogi, like most Asian cuisines, make full use of the interplay between the 4 basic tastes. Sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. The marinade gets these flavors from soy sauce, sugar, garlic, ginger, and green onion. You marinate the pot roast overnight and then prepare it the next day much like you normally would, with potatoes and carrots and onions, and slowly roast it in the oven for 3 hours or so. Now, of course, you can get the full recipe on the website. Someday we might find Korean restaurants on nearly every highway interchange. But in the meantime, I'll enjoy seeking them out in more diverse neighborhoods and by incorporating them into my kitchen repertoire. Next, maybe I'll start working on a sushi casserole. On second thought, maybe not.